All right, let's be real. What has been the hardest thing about your pregnancy and postpartum journey? Is it the postpartum painful sex that nobody talks about? What are you supposed to do with that? Is it the fact that you might have torn during delivery and you have no idea how to heal now that you're in postpartum? Welcome to the Onus Podcast, where we bring on mothers, parents, and pregnant postpartum individuals to talk about their journey and their experiences to give that knowledge back to people that need it. And we are also attached to theonuscollaborative.com, which is a free online educational directory where we help moms and parents connect to maternity care providers in their local area. We are here to give the power back to you guys so you have a choice in your journey. We'll have space for midwives, doulas, pelvic floor PTs, massage therapist. And as we continue expanding, we hope that we can support you. All right, we hope you enjoy this podcast. Welcome back to the Onus Podcast. My name is Erin and I am the host but also the founder of the Onus Collaborative. Today we have a fun episode, lots of laughter, and it was just super fun. It is with Victoria. Victoria is from and is also still located in Connecticut. She is currently pregnant and she is a motherhood photographer. That is originally how we connected. I used some of her photos on our Instagram account at Onus Collaborative, and I actually invited her to come on to talk about her work and how she got into it and even about her pregnancy. So we're super excited and we hope you all enjoy this episode.
Hello everyone, thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored. So I am a motherhood photographer and I'm located in Connecticut, United States, and I've been a photographer for the last coming on 10 years, which is just crazy to even think about. I am currently 29 weeks pregnant with a baby boy, due in May. We're really excited. It's our first pregnancy, and yeah, I've just been totally loving this whole pregnancy journey, the ups and downs and all of it. So I feel like I can talk about that all day long. And we have a dog, so you probably just heard her barking in the background. Her name is Layla. And she's our world right now. She's 7. And it's a beautiful day here and it's making me so happy.
Which is good, because I imagine Connecticut has typically very harsh winters. So I'm very excited for you.
Yes, very. And it was a winter this year. It was really cold and snowy. Yeah, around this time, like end of February, March, I'm over the winter. I love winter, but around this time I'm like, okay, I'm ready for flowers and sunshine and nice weather. Yeah. And barbecues. So
I've heard Connecticut is just so beautiful. I've heard it's absolutely stunning.
We love it. My husband and I, we both grew up here. Yeah, it's a mix. We have access to beaches and mountains, and we're only 2 hours away from Boston and New York. So yeah, it's like a little sweet spot for us. We love it.
Yeah, I love that. So you actually grew up in Connecticut. Are you in the same town that you grew up in?
We are about 20 minutes away from the town that we grew up in. So my husband and I, we didn't know it at the time, but we lived 2 minutes away from each other growing up. But yeah, now we live 20 minutes away in a town called West Hartford, which we love. There's like a little downtown area with restaurants and cafes and shops. And we can walk there at night to either grab a cocktail or ice cream. So we love it.
I love that. And so if you guys only grew up 2 minutes from each other, when did you meet and how did you meet?
Oh, so we met on Facebook. Cool. His mom was my art teacher in middle school. Mm. And his sister played soccer with, my best friend growing up. So I always saw him and I'm like, oh, he's cute. And, you know, my art teacher had like a picture of him on her desk. I'm like, oh, her son's so cute. And then I saw, it was MySpace. They had like a recommendation, like who you could be friends with. And I'm like, oh, Angelo, I know his mom. I'm going to add him. Why not? And then he messaged me right away. He's like, why do you want to be my friend? I'm like, oh, called out. I'm like, oh no. And then we just started like joking and talking, and it was just like a friendly conversation. And then we kept bumping into each other around the town. So I bumped into him at Starbucks, at the YMCA, which is like a gym. And it was just like, well, this is kind of weird that we keep bumping into each other. So fast forward to like 2 years, we bumped into each other again. And he's like, oh, I'm going to Israel. When I come back, let's get together and grab some coffee. I was like, okay, that'd be great. And then it felt like forever. I didn't hear from him. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to text him. I want to see a movie. I'm going to text him to see if he wants to go see a movie with me. So I texted him and he's like, yeah, let's do it. So we went and saw The Hangover, the first one. And then since then we've been hanging out pretty much every day.
That is a very cute story. I love, so did you guys basically not go to the same school even though you were so close?
So he was a senior in high school when I was a freshman. So he had no idea who I was.
Yeah.
I knew who he was.
looking at his photo on his mom's desk, like, he's cute.
Yeah, exactly. Saw him in the hallways. Yeah. Like, oh, he's really cute. But yeah, I didn't know until we started talking that he lived 2 minutes away. Like, oh, that's amazing. But yeah, our relationship started long distance. So I was a junior in high school. And he was going to school in Boston. So we were long distance for the first 2 years, which was hard. But I feel like it definitely made our relationship stronger and helped us realize that we wanted to be together. So
yeah, absolutely.
Started off as a summer fling, to be honest, and then turned into something more.
Yeah, no, I love that. My partner and I met online and we don't have as cute of a story as like, oh, went to the same school. Like, no. We did long distance because he's actually Australian and I was still living in the States. So I came over, studied abroad, and then went back and we did a year long.
Wow.
So long distance.
Wow, that is long. That's another definition for long distance.
But it also
is
pretty sad and like you don't get to be next to them. So I definitely understand why that makes your relationship stronger as well, because
you're
like, okay, I miss you and we're talking every day and you're so far away. So let's stop
so
being
far. Yeah. For you so far. Yeah. And it was funny, like during our long distance relationship, like he would send me cute texts and I would send him cute texts. I'm like, oh, texting is like the new love letter. So like I had to like screenshot. I think I had like a flip phone at that time. I'm like, I want to save these because they're so sweet.
Yeah, I love that. Because it is screenshot like now, because that's how you pretty much talk to people. I think we tried writing a letter maybe once or twice and they were like, by the time the letter gets to you, it's already been a month and you've talked every
right.
Yeah, I love that. Well, thanks for sharing that story. I was just very curious and I'm glad that you told it to us. I would love to find out how you got into photography, because you are an amazing photographer and we talked a little bit obviously before this, but I would love for you to let the listeners know as well.
Thank you. So I was in college at the time. I was going to school to become a nutritionist, and there was a photographer, like a local photographer, who was looking for a nanny and a studio assistant. I applied for the job and we met over pancakes and she's so sweet. And I got the job. So I started working for her. I would watch her 2-year-old and 8-year-old. And then during nap time, I would do some photography, like back end office stuff. And I fell in love with her lifestyle. Like I loved her schedule. I loved how she was home with her kids, but working. And I always was into like art and creating. But I didn't know that you can, like, photography can be a career and you can like make a living. Like I just didn't have that taught to me growing up. So yeah, it was really interesting to see someone like living this lifestyle, and her work is beautiful. So it just sort of evolved that way. I dropped out of college and started my own photography business. I think I was 19 when I started. So yeah, because I'm 29 now. So
that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, it was a very hard decision, but at the time I was like, you know, I'm young. I can always go back to school if things don't work out, but I'm really passionate about it. And I have clients already. So I'm like, okay, let's do this. And I started out as a family photographer. And I basically photographed anything and everything under the sun. So baby showers, bridal showers, corporate events, anything just to get a paycheck. And to get my name out there, but I am now able to really focus on what I really love, and that's motherhood.
So when you decided, when you started working with this mom just as a nanny, did you already have a camera? Did you already have an idea that you had always liked photography, or was it something that you had not even dabbled in yet?
I had a camera, but it was just one of those Sony handheld cameras that you would bring to girlfriend gatherings and parties and stuff. So nothing professional. It was nothing. Yeah. I was always interested in photography. I don't know if you remember Tumblr.
Oh yeah.
But I love Tumblr, and I was really drawn to photography. And then there was a friend on MySpace, and she would post these beautiful landscape photos. And I fell in love with photography then. I didn't have a dad or an uncle or anyone who was a film photographer. I just kind of got into it by meeting Michelle, who was my mentor.
Yeah, I love that. And one of the other questions I have for you is, so you were originally in school to become a nutritionist. So my question mm-hmm. is, did you have support from family and friends when you decided to leave to pursue photography?
Yes. My parents are awesome. And there was no pressure at all for me to stay in school. They helped me come up with my decision, as well as Angelo, my husband. So, we worked through it together, and they've been my number one supporters ever since.
That's amazing that you have that support. I think that's huge as well, because
yes,
college is good in some aspects, but it's not for everyone in the US loves to push college.
I was just going to, a state college, and it was close to home. And at the time, my father, he just got into a really bad car accident, a life-changing car accident, and my sister just had a baby. So I didn't really want to leave for school. I wanted to stay home with them. My story is just a little bit different, because I didn't have an urge to go to college. I don't know. Sleeping away. I didn't want to leave my family. I just wasn't ready at the time.
Yeah. So you're really close to your family, and you have siblings?
Yes, we're really close. We all live maybe 10 minutes away from each other. I have an older sister and an older brother.
Oh, that's beautiful. Because that's another thing we're going to talk about later, is because a lot of people don't live close to family anymore. And so when you give birth to your son, you're actually going to be very close to home, which is going to be so nice.
Yep. Yes, I know. One of the we wanted to live in Brooklyn, we wanted to live in Boston, California, but we decided to stay here because we knew we wanted to start a family and for our children to be around family, because it's so helpful for everyone, for the child's development, for us. Our child care is going to be my parents are my in-laws, and I love that. I love that he's going to be with people who, love him and care for him. So
yeah, and you get to pass down these family traditions even when you're working, because like he'll be with your parents, which is really fun and cool.
Yeah, yeah. That's so true. Yeah.
And so what was it about, so you had a wide range of different type of photography events that you would do. You did pretty much, sounds like everything. What was it about motherhood that really stuck out to you?
So we'll go all the way back to when I was like 3 years old. Mm-hmm. I had, or maybe it was even, I think I was one. I was just drawn to babies and baby dolls, like from a very young age. I had one doll that I would carry with me everywhere. Actually I have pictures of it, of me and the baby together. And then my cousin was born when I was 5, and I thought she was my baby and I would like take care of her and feed her. And then my mom opened up a daycare, for 18 years. So before and after school, starting at the age of 6, I would take care of kids. My mom was obviously in the daycare with me, but I love just like feeding them and playing them, reading with them. And so I've been around kids pretty much my whole life. And I just adore them. So during family sessions, I noticed that mothers would kind of take a step back as their partners were playing with the kids. And there was a lot of focus on the fathers during photo shoots. And I noticed that, and I was like, oh no, like I want to focus on the mom. Mm-hmm. The mom is always taking out her camera, like her phone, and snapping photos of her family. And she's rarely in pictures. And I actually noticed in my own family photo albums, I don't have a lot of pictures of me and my mom. So I was like, you know what? I want to focus on motherhood photography, because moms need to get in the frame, because their kids are going to want to see them like when they were younger. Like I love looking at pictures of my mom when she was like my age, mm-hmm. and just seeing like how she dressed and her hair. And it's just really cool. Like, I wish I had a picture of my mom pregnant. Like, I wish I saw her, like what she looked like, how she carried and everything now that I'm pregnant. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's just kind of like how it started. I just wanted to honor the mamas.
Yeah, no, I love that, because it's so relatable. Like you're saying, going back to when you were really, really little, I was the exact same way. I had my baby dolls, and there were even like at the age of 3 or 4, and I've seen this in my yeah. now she's done it, where we actually like hold the baby up to our breast, like we're breastfeeding.
Oh my gosh. They're so cute.
And I also just love that this is something I've thought about in the past but never thought about in terms of motherhood photography, is you're right, moms are never in the photos. I remember looking through my photo album of like when I was a little kid and just being like, okay mom, you're in none of these photos. She's like, oh, I guess yeah. I'm just always taking the picture.
Yeah,
I want to see yeah. what it looked like what did you right? look like, and what were you doing, because it was always like us and our dad or just us. And she and
yeah
maybe yep. 2 of the photo albums, and it was only recently that I finally got a photo of her in high school, and I was it's actually pretty crazy, because she almost is a spinning image of what I looked like, because I always felt like and I'm like, what? Yeah, you and more of the photos. So I love that you're trying to focus on the mother, that they're always kind of on the side trying to make sure everything looks organized and nice so they can get the
exactly
photo. They need to
get yep.
the photo.
Mm-hmm. And then you know they have, you know, their hair to like worry about, their outfits and the kids, and making sure their faces aren't dirty or anything. Like they're just like more, yeah, paying attention to detail, where the dads just kind of like show up. They're like, hey, you know, let's hang out. What are we doing? Let's play. Yeah. Not all, I don't want to generalize, but that's just what I've noticed during my photo shoots. So motherhood sessions are special because I focus on all those details for the moms, and she can just really enjoy the time with her kids. And I do family sessions as well. And then I just make sure I spend a good chunk of time with just the mom and have the dad just like go off somewhere. I'm like, just go and
yeah.
have a, just go hang out. We'll be back soon.
You'll be in enough photos eventually, so we'll get
yeah. to you. They love it too. They're like, oh, sweet, I'm only here for a few minutes. All right.
And so do you have your own studio where you do all this work?
Yes, I have a studio. It's about 10 minutes away from my house. I share it with another photographer. She specializes in boudoir though. So my sessions are a mix. I do some at the studio and some outside or at my clients' houses. So
wow, this sounds like such a dream. So you basically became an entrepreneur at 19.
Yes. And I always had it in me. Like I had like a gardening service business when I was like 10 years old. Aww. And would like water my neighbor's flowers. And I put together like a dance class for like when I was a teenager for like the younger neighborhood children. And we put on like a whole like dance recital in the front yard. So I always had like the little entrepreneur in me. Yeah.
So it was always there. It was just, you kind of need to figure out what your niche was, and you figured out it was photography.
Yes.
Yeah. And what has been,
I fell into it.
What has been the best thing about being a photographer and the hardest thing about being a photographer?
The best is meeting so many people. I've just met so many incredible people over the years, and some of my clients have blossomed into really beautiful friendships. So I really love that part about being a photographer. The hardest, I would say, and I still work on this daily, is being a creative and being a business owner. So it's like two separate brains that I have to work with. It's like, all right, you're there in business mode where you're like working on, you know, your taxes and all these things. And then it's like creative mode where you have to like design photo shoots and, you know, just, yeah, it's like complete, it's like a completely side, like opposite sides of my brain. So, what has helped is just dedicating certain days for certain things. So like my Mondays, I call them my admin days, or like the days that I, put together my schedule and do my, accounting and taxes and all that. So that has helped tremendously.
Would you say that you tend towards creativity more than business?
I don't know. Yes. Yeah, definitely. But I feel like I'm always coming up with ideas, but I guess that could be my creative side.
Yeah.
Coming up with the ideas. So yeah, I would say definitely more on the creative side than business side. But my husband and I, we love just like chatting about like new business ideas. It's like one of our favorite things to do. Yeah, we've come up with a lot of great businesses, but we're like, we'll have someone else do it. We don't have the energy for that anymore.
I love that. I think all of that is really, really great tips. I've had to figure that out because I also struggle getting my brain to switch from creative to like admin side. I hate the admin side, especially.
Yes.
I hate it. It's so difficult.
For, like, yeah. To
switch there, but it's so, so.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. Luckily, my husband, he's in finance, so he's been helping. He helped me understand all of it. It was very like, it was very hard at the beginning. But now that I have the hang of it, it's easy, easier, I should say. But yeah, to me, just like dedicating a day to just work on business stuff and like not make any plans, just like stay in your office, is that just has worked for me personally. So
no, I love that. Thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome.
So you are 29 weeks pregnant with a baby boy. I didn't realize you were having a little boy. That's so, so exciting.
Yes.
Congrats.
Thank you. We are so excited. We The moment we found out we were pregnant, I don't know what it was. We both felt like we were having a boy at that moment.
Mm.
Don't know why. And everyone else in our family thought we were having a girl, and our friends, they thought girl 100%. My father-in-law thought boy, and my sister thought boy. So when we found out, we weren't that shocked, but everyone else was so shocked. Like, what? We thought you're having a girl.
To be honest, I thought you were having a girl as well until we got on this podcast.
Yes.
Like, oh, we're having a little boy. I was like, no, she's gonna have a girl.
Yeah. Everyone just like, maybe because my work is like very feminine. Mm. So it just feels like it, I don't know, it just goes. Yeah. And to be honest, there was a part of me that wanted a girl a little bit more. But not anymore. Like, now I can't imagine having a girl now that I've had like boy in my head for the last 7 months. Yeah, we're so excited to have our little bud.
Yeah, I'm so excited for you. And it's been so amazing to be able to watch your Instagram stories come up with you like cooking and showing your belly. I love it.
Thank you. I love cooking. And I love this belly, even though it's like, it's getting rounder, and like I wake up in the morning and like hit it on the sink. I'm like, oh wow. I'm still not used to, like, I opened the fridge on it the other day, which is probably something I shouldn't be sharing.
Haven't realized how big it is yet.
Yeah. And I'm definitely starting to like lean and waddle a little bit. So that's new.
So how is you're in third trimester now?
Yes, third trimester.
How was your first and second?
First was horrible. The first trimester, I didn't feel well at all. And I never had a break. So that was the hardest part, is just like not feeling well for so many weeks and just never escaping that feeling. There were days that were worse than others, but I always just felt really sick. The best way I can describe it is feeling hungover and seasick at the same time. And I had, I suffer with migraines. So I had a few of those, had a lot of them in the first trimester. Which is really hard, because when I have a migraine, I'm pretty just like knocked out for for the day. And then second trimester, everyone told me like, hang in there, second trimester is amazing. All moms deserve how great the second trimester is. Hang in there. And I remember I turned into the second trimester around Thanksgiving, and I was so excited because I'm like, yes, I can eat Thanksgiving. This will be great. But it wasn't like a switch. It took me a little bit to feel better, I'd say around week 16, 17, like that's when I started feeling better. And then suddenly I just had like all this energy. I had a lot of food aversions in the first trimester. So coffee was one of them. Like, My poor sweet husband, he had to like brew the coffee in our sun porch. I couldn't even stand the smell of it. Mm. Like the smell of it I would get sick from it. So one morning I'm like, hey, can you make me a cup of coffee? I think I'm ready. So once I started drinking coffee again, I just felt so much better. And all my food aversions went away, except I still can't do like cumin, like Mexican spices. I still can't do that. Nope. It doesn't settle. Make my stomach feel that great. So
did you like those before?
Oh yeah. So my husband, he's Puerto Rican. So his dad's Puerto Rican. And his mom cooks like a lot of Spanish foods and uses like a lot of delicious spices, but we made her, there's this dish that we make that's hers. It's the they're like stewed beans. They're like, it's basically like if you think of like ground beef tacos, mm-hmm. but instead of ground beef, you use black beans. Yeah. We had that the night before I became like very sick for the first time in my pregnancy. So I don't know if it's linked with that. Mm. Yeah. So no, it's so sad. 'Cause that was like my favorite dish.
Yeah. In 18. Oh. So it was 18 weeks of you just feeling unwell.
Yeah. Like
that's a long time.
Yeah. It was a long time, but some mothers, they suffer pretty much their whole pregnancy.
That's true.
Like my mom, she was sick with all of us for 6 straight months, six, 7 straight months. So yeah, it was horrible, but my second trimester and now third, it's been great. It's been amazing. So I can't complain. It makes up for the horrible first trimester I had.
Yeah.
There was a moment, 2 moments where like before bed, I would just cry because I felt so awful. Mm-hmm. So my husband, he's just the sweetest. And he was able to calm me down and just say, it's temporary and you're doing great. And to not worry about anything because I was running my business. It was the fall time, which was the busiest time of the year for my business. So I was working like overtime and during my first trimester. So it was a lot at the time.
Yeah.
But I got through it. We're good.
So are you still working full time?
Yes, I'm still working full time, but I'm not working overtime. So in the fall, like when the leaves are changing, everyone loves to get their photos done around that time. So I just book more sessions. So we call it busy season. I do maybe like 4 to 5 sessions a week. And right now I'm doing like 2, maybe 3 sessions, but starting next week, I'm only doing 2 sessions a week just because it's getting a little bit harder. Yeah. To maneuver and chase kids around with this belly.
Absolutely. <yeah. laughs> I imagine autumn in Connecticut is absolutely stunning because I'm originally from Ohio and I live in Australia now, and they don't really have that big seasonal change, and it really pisses me off because it's my favorite season. Like, what is
yes.
So I know that'd be a very busy season for you.
Yes, it is. And it happens so quickly. Like all of a sudden the leaves start changing and everyone's like, oh my gosh, we need to get our photos taken. And yeah, it's like, it's just so magical, especially like during sunset, like with all like the golden tones. It's so pretty.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And so you actually decided to, for your pregnancy, birth, postpartum, to go with a midwife. And I would love to hear about like how you found out about midwives, why you decided to go with a midwife, and yeah.
Yeah, so love my midwife so much. Midwives, I'm seeing a few different ones at the same practice, but I love them so much. They're the best. So I actually found out, so I photographed a handful of births. That was like something that I was into for a little bit. And there was, one birth in particular that stood out to me. And it was, a mother who had a midwife and a doula, and she gave birth at a women's center, like a women's birthing center. And her birth was just, there was a different type of energy in the room compared to the hospital births that I've, attended. It was very peaceful. It was calming. There was only her midwife, the doula, and her husband, an assistant, midwife's assistant in the room. And it was like in the middle of the night. And I remember leaving that birth feeling empowered and just totally like, I got this. I can totally do this like when my time comes. So I just love their like gentle approach. Mm-hmm. And so like a few months before that birth, I went to a hospital birth and she had an OBGYN and I felt like no one was listening to the mom. Like she was asking for things and she was in pain. And I just felt like they weren't working fast enough or just attending to her or like listening to her mm-hmm. in a way that, I felt was right or comfortable. And it just, the energy in the room just felt like completely different from the previous birth I was, talking about. Mm-hmm. And suddenly there was just like 12 people in the room and all this stuff was going on and no one's listening to the mother. I know. And I was there to document the birth, but I felt like just like putting like a washcloth on her head and like rubbing her and like, it's okay. She got this. But yeah, she had her baby. Everything was beautiful. She was great. Like nothing happened. It was just, I am very sensitive to energy. Like I can read people's energy very well. So that was just like the stark difference that I noticed between the two births. And so our best friend, his name is Ronak. He is a naturopath doctor. So I just learned a lot about Eastern medicine through him. He's taught us so much, just like the difference between like Eastern and Western. And I think, I don't know, just midwives, they have like this, like a similar approach, compared to like OBGYNs. Like, I feel like they're, for instance, like my midwife, I feel like they're very good at, delivering information to you, which is huge. So I don't know how I can like go further into that, but just like all the things that, have been like concerning me through my pregnancy, I talked to them and they just leave me feeling, positive and good. Like they don't instill fear into me, which I think is important because I've been to OBGYNs where I just feel like they just didn't care. Like they didn't really want to talk to me yeah. or they're just like very like surface level. A good example is, you know, like if you have, I went on birth control when I was 18 and I was having a hard time on it. Like I just didn't feel well. And I felt like there just wasn't enough information out there for like, for me to like decide like what birth control was right for me. So, I got off of it 4 years later after realizing and educating myself that I actually don't need birth control. Like, cause I was like preventing pregnancy. I can actually, track my cycle. So, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like, to me, like personally, I just feel like midwives, they just really care about you and they listen and they have really good tools in their tool belt. So
yes to all of that. I have endometriosis and I had super painful periods from like the age of 11 and they put me on the birth control pill and I knew nothing about it. It wasn't until because I had always gone to doctors and they were like, oh, she's just unlucky. Just put her on the pill. Like,
yeah, like they just see like what you have and that's it.
Yeah. And then 2 years ago, probably 3 years ago now, I actually found so much useful information from naturopathic doctors and naturopaths talking about like charting your cycle and how painful periods are normal. You're having painful periods, something's going on. And I'm like, why have I never heard this? And I've been to so many doctors who are like, you just So
they help you find like the root cause of your problem as an individual. It's not like, you know, you're like everyone else. Cause you're not, we're all unique in our own ways. So we're going to have like different treatment plans. And so
do you use do you take your temperature and track your cervical fluid?
Oh yes. Yes.
Yeah. That's the one that I do. I love it. It's so empowering. You learn so much about your body and I love it.
So much. And it took a few beats to get used to, but now, like, I'm at a point where, like, I know I'm ovulating without even, you know, checking my temperature. So
isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's amazing. And yeah, we got pregnant on our first try because I knew, like, exactly when I was not ovulating. Yeah. And I think it's luck too, definitely. Yeah. But cycle syncing and cycle tracking has been really eye-opening for a lot of things.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've noticed this. One of the things I've noticed since tracking my cycle is that my partner's, like, libido clicks into what my cycle's doing. So, like, even if, like, I usually,
love that.
Like, I'll sometimes be communicating to him, like, what my cervical fluid and temperature is doing, but I really don't have to anymore. He pretty much knows, like, yep, population. Mm-hmm. And the other thing we've noticed, which I don't know if I'll keep, I might take this out of the podcast, but I love it. Like, in the middle of the night, if usually the night that I'm ovulating, it's the only time he will wake up in the middle of the night ready to go.
That's so crazy that you said that, because that was happening to us. Like, really? We were calling it sleep sex. I'm like, what happened last night? He's like, I don't know. That's hilarious. So I didn't connect the two. I did not connect the two until
it's a real thing.
Until you. Oh my gosh, Angela. And he was joking. He's like, I think our bodies just want us to make a baby.
Yes, I think it's a thing. I was like,
oh my gosh.
That's why that happened. It happens every single month.
That is. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to share that with Angelo when he comes home. Oh my gosh. That is hilarious.
Well, I'm glad to know that I'm not the only one, because I wonder, I'm like, do other people sync up with their partner? But it makes sense. Like, if your bodies are working energetically and there's sperm, there's an egg, let's connect.
That is hilarious. Like, we didn't know what was going on. We're like, what the heck is happening? Like, I feel like we're in college again.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to know I'm not the only person.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I also love, so basically it seems like naturally you almost had a sense of, what's the right word? Almost holistic, natural way of living, because you actually originally went to school to study nutrition, which I feel like is almost the first beginning into getting more natural medicine. But I also think what you said is what I've also noticed. A lot of people who tend to birth with OBGYNs, I've met very, very small handful of women that have had really positive experiences, but most of the time it's like had what you said, like mothers aren't listened to. They're basically told this is what you're going to do and this is how it's going to be done. You don't really have a choice in this birth.
And yeah.
I don't know what it is about midwives, but midwives are given this very, they have the medical training, but then they also have this holistic natural birth that they advocate for. And I think the fact that they also really dedicate their time to their patients, and they also spend more time with you guys to actually learn about what you want, what's your birth plan? Do you not want a birth plan? What's the postpartum? And I think it's absolutely beautiful. And you're also right that they don't instill fear. They really want you to know everything that you can, even if you forget to ask it. They want you to have that information so you feel empowered and knowledgeable about what's going on with your body. So
yeah,
that's incredible. And so are you going to be birthing at a birthing center?
So where we're going, we're actually going to give birth in a hospital, in like a women's like birthing center. It's like in the hospital though, because we decided to go this route because it's our first birth. And my husband and I, we tend to run on the anxious side a little bit when things are like new, like birth. So I just love to know that we have, like, if I need to have an emergency C-section, like, we're ready to go, like, right there. If anything happens to the baby, we're just like in good hands. So that was just like a feature that we personally liked for us. But yes, my birth plan is to go natural, as natural as I can, but just like go with the flow, just, you know, like talking at like the surface level, it's just, I don't want to, I'm like envisioning all different kinds of births. So I'm not just like setting myself up just like, oh, I want a water birth, or I do, I want to try water birth, but I don't want that to be like my only way I'm thinking of giving birth. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also great that even though not enough people know about midwives yet, I do love that a lot of hospitals are starting to put birthing centers in the hospital so that people yes. still have that option. Because here in Australia and pretty much everywhere else in the world, birthing centers are pretty much always attached to the hospital so that you can have that yeah. more holistic outlook. And then if something does happen, you have OBGYNs just down the hall to perform a C-section or do whatever they need to do. And so
yes.
yeah, I think what you're doing makes complete sense. And you still get to have that positive experience and the energy that you want in the room when you're giving birth.
Yes. Yes. We're so my one of my dear friends, she gave birth to the same hospital that we're giving birth at. And her first birth was at a different hospital that didn't have a birthing center. And she now has three kids, and she was just telling me like the stark difference between her two births. And kind of going back to my personal experience witnessing our the birth stories that I documented, yeah, she just said that her birth with the midwife was just very peaceful and calming, and she loved that there wasn't like a lot of people in the room. She said it just felt like really comfortable.
Yeah.
So,
and do you think that you'll have just your husband in there or your partner?
Yeah. Well, since COVID, I can only have I can only have my husband and our doula and midwife. So
you also decided to get a doula.
Yes. Yes. So, she's actually a client of mine. I documented her first year with her son. So like, I took pictures of her and her son through their first year together. And she's a doula as well. So yeah. I'm really happy to have her by my side. She's just like very like cool, calm, confident. And she works with essential oils. She's like very big on essential oils. So I'm like, sweet, hook me up.
Yeah. And what made you decide to get a doula?
So, I just want someone there. Cause like I said before, my husband and I, we run on the anxious side a little bit. Mm-hmm. We just wanted someone who's just going to be there, who is like our foundation, our rock. And, if something arises, she's there, she's listening, and she'll know like what we want. She was explaining to us, like sometimes like the doctor comes in or the midwife, they say something and it can sound like a lot scarier than it actually is. Yeah. So she's just going to be like our communicator and just like help us stay calm and just like enjoy each other and the whole experience.
Yeah. Cause I think a lot of times, sometimes like doctors and midwives come in and they say it very medically. And then it's
yeah.
not heard very well, and you're like, I'm not a doctor, so you need mm-hmm. to do that in, you know, regular people talk.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Her doula's name is Alicia. It's like, Alicia, like, you know what we want, whatever you think, like, yeah. just whatever. We can't think right now.
Yeah. And it's great to have that support because exactly like you said, you're literally in labor. The last thing you want to think about is this medical, you know, term that they've thrown out at you and then for them to sit
yeah.
there and explain it to you. That's the last thing
right.
that you want during that process. And
right.
will,
yeah.
will your doula be working with you postnatally as well?
We haven't talked about that. I don't know. I don't think so. But only because I feel like I've done a lot of research on my own to like know. We communicate really well with our parents. So our moms are going to be helping us with everything. So they'll kind of like take the role of like a postpartum doula.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. We didn't talk about it.
Yeah, I just realized that after I asked, because like you're so close to home, you have your sister and both of your moms there, which is.
Yeah, we have a lot of family support. So yeah, I don't think we'll use her, but maybe like when with our second, maybe it'd be a different story.
Yeah.
Just because me two kids. So
yeah. And will you be able to honor yourself with any type of maternity leave?
Oh, yes. I am taking, so my last day, my last photo shoot is April 20, I think like 2nd. So I have a whole month off before my due date. And then I don't plan on going back to work until like mid-fall. So
That's great.
I'm taking a nice maternity leave. I've been working hard for it because since I own my own business, I don't get paid during my time off. So,
yeah, no, I think that's amazing that you can do that for yourself. And I think if you're not going back to autumn, you made that sound like that's the biggest time of the year, anyways. So it's probably perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, all right, we'll just I'll go in. Start working, but I plan on working part-time. So I only plan on doing like one photo shoot a week. When I go back to work, just to see how it is like with the baby. And, I know I'll never have this time again, like just having our first, and a little baby. So I really want to just soak it up and just, yeah, I feel very lucky and I'm just really happy and excited. I still can't believe that I'm having a baby.
So exciting. We're so excited for you and congrats again. Yeah. And whenever you're ready for both you and the audience, we'll actually be having Victoria back on again to actually talk about your birth experience and how all of it went. And we can't wait.
Yes.
Obviously heal up, do what you need to get done. We'll face eventually, but I can't wait to have that discussion.
Yes. I'm so excited for that. Oh my gosh. That's going to be wild. The next time I talk to you.
Yeah. It's going to be so exciting.
Baby.
Hear the little baby cries in the background, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Hopefully not too many. Yeah. No, I'm thinking around like 3 months postpartum, I'll be ready to talk.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. And last question, where can people find you if they want to reach out to you?
Ooh, okay. So you can find me on Instagram. My business page is at my motherhood story. And then my personal page is at Victoria Gloria. You can find me there and send me a DM if you want to chat. I love chatting with people. So happy to talk there. And I also have a website, where I've actually been blogging about my pregnancy, and that's, victoriagloria.com.
Well, thank you so much for today. I actually had so much fun. It was really good.
Me too.
We want to thank Victoria so much for coming on. It was such a fun podcast, because you can hear all the laughing. And we're so excited for her to welcome in her little one in May. We're actually going to have her on again on the podcast sometime in postpartum when she's feeling ready for it. So if you are interested in reaching out to Victoria just to say hello, find out a bit more about her, maybe even book her as a photographer, you can find her on Instagram at my motherhood story, and her personal Instagram is also at Victoria Gloria if you want to reach out to her. And if we have any mothers or parents on here that also want to come on and tell their story, feel free to email us at hello@theonascollaborative.com. and any providers that want to come on and share some education, feel free to sign up on our directory. You can even sign up for free and we will get you scheduled for a podcast. All right, thanks for listening. We'll see you all next week. Bye.